This is the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.
I have a question, and I mean this honestly for all of you. Putting aside, we all know Michael Cohen is a liar. We all know that Michael Cohen is pleading guilty and is going to serve time. He's a convicted felon. But are all of you, those of you who are inclined not to believe him, do you really not believe him? Do you really think the stuff he's saying isn't true? I mean, the way I view it is, I actually do believe almost everything he said. And much to the left's chagrin, I think some of what he said helps President Trump. And I know that that's going to be very surprising to some of you, and we'll go through that as a legal matter. But before we go there, I want to start by playing a piece of sound. When Debbie Wasserman Schultz was asking Cohen about President Trump.
Do you believe that he would cooperate or collude with a foreign power to win the presidency? Is he capable of that?
It calls on so much speculation, ma'am. It would be unfair for me to.
I understand, but you have a tremendous amount of experience.
Mr. Trump is all about winning. And he will do what is necessary within
which to
win.
And in your opinion and experience, would he have the potential to cooperate or collude with a foreign power to win the presidency at all costs?
Yes.
So that's his speculation. The problem is that when asked the question, do you have any evidence of the president colluding with the Russians? He said no. He speculated that he thought that it was possible, but he certainly didn't seem to know about it for certain. And that helps the president, in my view. Let me play one more piece of sound, and then we'll talk about this. But again, he implicates the president in certain crimes, campaign finance. But even there, I'm not so sure. And this is Cohen admitting he does not have direct evidence that President Trump colluded with the Russians.
Questions have been raised about whether I know of direct evidence that Mr. Trump or his campaign colluded with Russia. I do not. And I want to be clear. But I have my suspicions. Sometime in the summer of 2017, I read all over the media that there had been a meeting in Trump Tower in June of 2016 involving Don Jr. and others from the campaign with Russians, including a representative of the Russian government, and an email setting up the meeting with the subject line, "Dirt on Hillary Clinton." Something clicked in my mind. I remember being in a room with Mr. Trump, probably in early June of 2016, when something peculiar happened. Don Trump Jr. came into the room and walked behind his father's desk, which in and of itself was unusual. People didn't just walk behind Mr. Trump's desk to talk to him. And I recall Don Jr. leaning over to his father and speaking in a low voice, which I could clearly hear, and saying, "The meeting is all set." And I remember Mr. Trump saying, "Okay, good, let me know."
Do I believe that that's probably a discussion about the June meeting with the Russians? Yes. Is that enough to build a case on? No, without more. You could use it, but you'd need more. And so I guess I'm frustrated with both sides to some degree. I'm frustrated with the media that I think this is going to become a 24-hour story, even though I think his testimony is incredibly important. I think I'm frustrated with the right over many of the absurd questions that the congressmen were asking, all about, you know, sort of all acting like criminal defense lawyers now, all these supposedly pro-prosecution, law enforcement-loving Republican members of Congress all acting like criminal defense lawyers now and using the exact same arguments that criminal defense lawyers use in every case, which is you can't trust the government's evidence, you can't trust the prosecutors, etc. All of them are now criminal defense lawyers, and that's frustrating to me. And then it's frustrating to me that those on the left aren't recognizing that Michael Cohen did offer, in my view, testimony which is helpful to President Trump on the legal front. Let's bring in Mimi Rocha, the former federal prosecutor for the Southern District of New York, current NBC News and MSNBC legal analyst. She's been tearing it up as a legal analyst. She is becoming one of the most cited legal analysts out there. And she joins us now. Mimi, great to have you back.
Hi. Thanks, Dan. Great to be back.
So, all right, let me ask you first, overview, before I get into the Southern District of New York piece, which to me is the, I think to everyone, is the most perilous part of this for Donald Trump moving forward. Do you, and I'm going to take you through three areas that I think where he helped Donald Trump, and I'm not sure you're going to agree with me, which is why I want to start with that.
Okay.
All right. So on this first issue of him saying he does not have any direct evidence that the president colluded with the Russians. I have to tell you, when I read the sentencing memorandum from the special counsel at the time of the Michael Cohen investigation, and they said he was offering information that went to the core of the Russia investigation, I was not expecting to hear him say he doesn't have any direct evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians.
So I don't think that my expectations on that front were as high, I guess. So I wasn't as surprised by what he did say. I agree with you 100%, as you just said, that what Cohen testified to so far yesterday about, you know, this, his suspicions would not obviously not be enough. I think it goes to his credibility, though, that he wasn't saying
that's
more
true
than that. You know, he was telling what he knew. He could have made up some great story. And I think Trump remarked on that, right? They like to believe him when they believe him, but not when it's inconvenient. So I guess a couple of things. First of all, I don't know if he has said more behind closed doors. It's possible that there's, you know, he should have made that clear yesterday if that's true. But I don't think anyone really asked him, is this all of your knowledge about collusion? In other words, I think he was making a statement of, do I have direct evidence? No. But that doesn't necessarily mean, as you well know, that if under questioning by Mueller or other people who know a lot more facts than Cohen does, they couldn't elicit facts from him that would be helpful to their case. So he may have information that he doesn't realize really goes to the heart of their case. But under questioning from them who know more than he does, it does help build their case, right?
I mean, that happens a lot. You're saying it could, but we don't know that. I mean, basically what we know publicly, though, you have to agree that this is a helpful point for President Trump.
I don't know that I would call it helpful. I guess that's what I'm saying. I just don't, not because I think that Cohen's testimony could be used to charge him with any kind of collusion or conspiracy, but because I think it just was sort of neutral. I'm assuming that if Mueller does have evidence of Trump's criminal involvement with the Russians, I never thought it was going to come from Michael Cohen, certainly alone. I think it's going to come
alone,
from elsewhere.
But look, right. I agreed. But I think that, again, I think that you have to, I don't mean to sound like I'm cross-examining you, but I think you just have to concede on this point that Michael Cohen offered there's a reason President Trump is citing it. And the reason is because it does seem to support broadly what he said. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be other evidence. I'm just saying it sure sounds like Cohen isn't going to be the guy who's going to bring down the president or the campaign on Russian collusion.
I think it's helpful in the sense that it takes out the possibility that Trump's involvement, if there was, you know, with the Russians was so sort of widespread and blatant and explicit that even Michael Cohen saw it and
right.
could testify about it. But again, I will say, I don't know sort of what he's been talking about behind closed doors. There's a reason right. why some of that is, I assume, classified.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, let's skip to that for a minute. So my thinking on this is the fact that Cohn has said that there is an active investigation in the Southern District of New York, your former department. The fact that he is saying that it's additional wrongdoing or crimes, meaning not stuff we've talked about here, based on what Cohn said today, I assume it has to do with either bank fraud, insurance fraud, something like that in connection with the Trump organization or Donald Trump himself.
Right. It does sound like those are threads that the Southern District is pursuing and that Michael Cohen's information would be very relevant to that.
Right. But I guess I view this hearing as a whole as, you know, helpful in terms of a roadmap for Congress, right? They could call witnesses
yep.
to get more information. We don't know if they're going to want to do that because there's a concern that they could be stepping on the Southern District of New York's investigation in this. And so they may not want to do that. I mean, well, let me stop there and ask you that. I mean, do you think if you were, and you may not be able to answer this without knowing exactly what the Southern District of New York is doing, but wouldn't you, as a prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, be encouraging Congress not to replicate the same investigation that you're doing and then have that in terms of a public hearing?
Right. Well, I mean, that's a big question. I mean, we meaning prosecutors and the American public, shouldn't want what Congress is doing to interfere with what the Southern District is doing. And I mean, that's going to be hard for Congress to do. I hope that they'll coordinate, you know, with the Southern District the way that they say they have been with Mueller. We don't know how far along the Southern District is,
right?
I mean, it could be that they're very far along and there's sort of very little that would hurt their investigation at this point. And I think it depends which investigation we're talking about, because we've heard about, as you know, you've mentioned, different strands. There's the inauguration committee strand. There's the Trump organization, possible, you know, inflating assets, income tax. I mean, there's so many different strands, and I think it depends which one we're talking about. But obviously, the ones that are in their most beginning stages in the Southern District are going to be the ones most at risk of being interfered. And, you know, I mean, at some point, you know, we have to decide, I guess, somebody has to decide what's that most in the public interest. Is it letting these criminal investigations go forward?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Because they're, at the end of the day, going to be the ones who are most able to really find the facts that people need to then decide possibly in the political context as well.
Right, right. All right, so it sounds like we're pretty much in agreement, Mimi Rocha, about the fact that Michael Cohn's statement either is helpful or just to the helpful side of neutral to President Trump on the he has no evidence of collusion. But here's one where we may disagree, and that is on the issue of campaign finance violations. So the sort of the big enchilada here in terms of a crime that Cohn is specifically testifying to yesterday, whatever the case may be, was that he committed a campaign finance violation. He pays off Stormy Daniels, pays off Karen McDougal at the direction of Donald Trump for the purpose of influencing the campaign. And if it's for the purpose of influencing the campaign, then it's a crime. But the defense in that kind of case would be, well, it was really just so my wife wouldn't find out about it. And here's Michael Cohn testifying yesterday about talking to Melania Trump.
Mr. Trump is a con man. He asked me to pay off an adult film star with whom he had an affair and to lie about it to his wife, which I did. And lying to the First Lady is one of my biggest regrets, because she is a kind, good person, and I respect her greatly, and she did not deserve that.
And, you know, Mimi Roki, he goes on to say that the concern was that they could get a check from, you know, the Stormy Daniels could go cash the check and then take a picture of it and send it to Melania Trump. But if that's the concern, then it's not a crime. And so even if you say, well, if it's both, it could still be a crime, it does throw a little bit of sand into the clear-cut case of campaign finance violation if Cohn is saying Trump was very concerned about his wife finding out.
This may surprise you, Dan, but I don't disagree with you. I had that thought yesterday when I heard that testimony. I will say this, though, as you alluded to, the law, I think, is pretty clear. I, you know, would want to look at this specific point, but that you can have a dual motive. No one says it has to just be for the purpose of influencing. This is a very, as you know, fact-specific question, and it's going to come down to the facts. In the Edwards case, as you know, Trump defenders like to point out,
John Edwards,
there was no campaign finance, and that was largely because a jury decided that they didn't see this as him trying to influence the election. I still think at the end of the day here, I mean, I think back to the tape, the recording between Cohn and Trump that I think Giuliani leaked out and we heard. And in that conversation, to me, just as a listener, and I'd be curious, you know, what other people thought, it was pretty clear they were talking about it in the context of the campaign, because the whole conversation, you know, it's like a conversation with people kind of wound back and forth, but it was the campaign and the timing and, you know, when is this payment going to happen? And so and that's just one conversation. So yes, I think if all we had, you know, were Cohen and talking about Trump's concern about Melania, no brainer, you wouldn't charge that. But there seems to be evidence on the other side. And at the end of the day, it would be a factual question for a jury. But I think you would get there if it were ever charged.
But again, I think that that's another point that A shows, and this goes bolsters a point you made before, which bolsters his credibility, right? Which is saying that if he was just trying to hurt the president, he wouldn't be mentioning Melania. He would just be talking about he did this to influence the campaign, etc. But it is a second point where I think Michael Cohn actually helped the president on the legal front. Frank from California joins us. Hey, Frank, how you doing? What do you got?
Hey, love your show. I just started listening to it recently, and now I try to not ever miss it. So thank you. For that.
Appreciate it.
This is about Cohen's credibility. That was probably the most fun congressional hearing I've ever watched as a lawyer. I don't know how you guys think, but just watching all the dynamics was a little amazing. I think that he did about everything that he could have done to rehabilitate his testimony. And I agree with you. Even liars never lie 100% of the time. So I think some of the stuff that he said was true. Also, I guess one brief comment. I also think that the GOP members in the committee got sandbagged a little bit with the evidence. Let's see what they come up with as far as actual rebuttal evidence when they've had a couple of days to look for stuff. I'm sort of waiting to see on that. I also kind of think regarding campaign finance, kind of hard to separate protecting your character from protecting your campaign when you're campaigning. I don't know what the law is on that, but
that's why the law is tricky in that regard, because you know that becomes the defense. But if the goal is, for example, another thing that Cohn testified to, which I think helps Trump, is that these were the only two payoffs to women that he knew of. That actually hurts Trump. What I meant to say is the one thing that hurts Trump is the fact that these were the only two payoffs to women that he knew of, because if he's only paying off women right before the campaign, that can bolster the argument that this was done to influence the campaign. But one thing I think we should be really clear about that I think a lot of people got confused about yesterday is he doesn't get any credit for testifying to Congress. I mean, I think people keep thinking, oh, he's trying to get a better deal by testifying to Congress. That's not how you get a better deal with prosecutors.
Right. That is a correct statement. I will say this, though, that, you know, he confirmed yesterday what I think a lot of people have been thinking, which is that he seems to now, post-sentence, be trying to work with the Southern District.
Yes.
And that is clearly an effort to get what we call Rule 35, a post-sentencing reduction in your sentence for cooperation.
Yep.
And if he provides substantial assistance, if he helps the prosecutors make cases in their district, nothing to do with Congress, as you say, then they may write this letter to the judge saying, hey, you know, he's really helped us. Here's all the things he's done. Maybe now you want to reduce his sentence. And in that letter, this fact of him having testified and whether or not he testified truthfully, in their opinion, would go into that letter and would be very relevant to a judge. So I think that it does have some influence, but in my view, it's an incentive for him to be truthful, because the Southern District is going to know largely, and Mueller, if he isn't being truthful, and that's going to hurt him in that letter that they eventually if they do write one.
Right, but that letter is really going to be saying, we think it's the cooperation with the Southern District of New York, not cooperation with Congress, that's going to get him the reduction. And all that letter would be saying is, this further bolsters our position, right, that he's testifying truthfully and that he's being honest.
Absolutely.
And that he's come clean.
If a judge is resentencing him, right, you know, under the law now, the judge is supposed to look at the whole picture and the character and the, you know, everything about the person. And so this would be something that would be another element for the judge to look at to help him, you know, possibly get a lower sentence. But you're right. He cannot be doing this just thinking it's going to get me a lower sentence, so I'm going to, you know, go do this, because it won't. It absolutely won't.
This has been the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.